Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Fred Lowry, illuminating God's Word for today's world.
The choice, the Word of God, or the world. The choice, Christ, or culture for us.
We can choose Christ.
We certainly don't want to be inconsiderate today of our moms, and I want to bring a simple, relatively short message in honor of our moms. I read about a woman who telephoned a friend and asked how she was feeling. She said, absolutely terrible. My back's hurting. My head's hurting. The house is in a mess. The kids are driving me crazy. And the lady said, well, you go lie down on the couch. I'm coming over right now. I'm going to cook lunch for you, clean the house, and I'll take care of the kids and let you get out for a while. By the way, how is Sam? She said, I don't have a husband named Sam. She said, good heavens, I've called the wrong number. Then there was a long pause, and the lady said, well, are you coming anyway? That's the kind of help that most of you need and would want for Mother's Day. Friends of a young mother got a thank you note. She'd just given birth to a third child, and the thank you note read, many thanks for the playpen. It's been used for a couple of hours every day. I get in it, and the children can't get near me. The lady was struggling with three small children. Some man stopped and said, if you had it to do over, would you do it again, have kids? She said, yes, but not the same ones. Motherhood is full of frustrations and challenges, but eventually they do move out. Or so I hear. Let's see what God's Word says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Remember, recently we did a series of sermons on the Ten Commandments, and we studied the commandment that says we are to honor our parents. It's given in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, and then again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Here's what it says. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Not a suggestion, a command. But it's a command with a promise. So that you may live long. Now, all of us want to live long life. Regardless of how rotten you feel, you just don't want to check out. People want to stay on this earth as long as they can. So if you want to live long, and then that it may go well with you. Now, all of us certainly want it to go well with us. Then we're to honor our parents. So if you want the blessings of God upon your life, honor your parents. On the other side of that truth is, if you do not honor your parents, you invite the curse of God. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. God gave these laws, these basic principles of successful living. He says, I want you to be happy. I want you to be fulfilled. I want you to be successful. I want you to have meaning and purpose in life. And in order to do that, there's some principles that you must build into your life. One of those principles is that you are to honor and respect your parents. And if you'll do that, you'll have a long life, and you will live well on this earth, and you'll receive the promises of God. But now let's deal with the other side of that. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, pretty strong verse, it says, anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. Verse 17 of chapter 21, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Then all the people shall say, amen. Now, you may not have been aware that those verses are in the Word of God, but they're there. And we probably should be grateful that God is not dealing with us as he dealt with early Israel. In that if he killed immediately all of those who had disrespect, who dishonored their parents, we'd probably have a major mess in America today. But the principle is there. And it's just like the other commands of God and the principles of God. We cheat ourselves. We hurt ourselves when we don't do it God's way. When we dishonor our parents, when we do not honor and respect them, then we're bringing not the blessings of God upon ourselves, we're bringing the curse of God upon our lives. And that's so unnecessary. Because there ought to be something within us that we should need a command from God to tell us to honor our parents. That should be a given. That's a no-brainer. The very one who gave us life, we ought to spend our life honoring that person. And that's what we're going to do in this place today. Preparing this message, I was out of town, and I was thinking in my mind, what are the characteristics of a godly mother? I thought about my own mom, and I tried to think of characteristics of her. I had the privilege to grow up in a godly home. My mom is one of the greatest Christians I've ever known, has one of the greatest prayer lives of anybody I've ever been around. She walked with God. And I had the privilege to grow up in that kind of atmosphere. I have a godly wife. And I listened to... As I tried to think about those principles that I've seen in the life of my mom and the life of my wife that are characteristic of godly mothers. The first one is a mother's unconditional love. You know, a lot of times men want to base things on performance. But when it comes to love, a godly mother loves unconditionally. That's the same kind of love that God has for us. And the closest we can get to understanding God's unconditional love is to see in action the unconditional love of a mother. A mother who can love a child who is deformed or who is in some way or another missing out on what life is all about, who is wayward, who is rebellious, who is tripped out on drugs or on alcohol, who has a series of broken marriages. It does not matter about the performance, even though that breaks the mother's heart. That love is never challenged. The mother keeps on loving that child. I've read recently many interviews about moms, asking people, what do you remember about your mom and what do you feel about your mom? What do you think of when you think of your mom? And most of the time, you would hear things like, she was always there for me. She would always listen to me. She always loved me, regardless of how rotten I lived. And that's what I kept hearing over and over and over. The unconditional love. You've heard the saying, only a mother could love that child. Only a mother could love a child so rebellious, so messed up. But that mother's love is never questioned. Unconditional love. I read a story in Reader's Digest several years ago. A lady came out of the doctor's office with a child on each arm, crippled and deformed, pitiful from the sight to look at. A lady sitting in the doctor's office was overwhelmed by that picture. And as she went into the doctor, she said, Doctor, that lady who just came out of here with those children so messed up, so crippled, so deformed, so pitiful, I don't understand how God of love could do that to one mother. How could God give two children like that to one mother? The doctor said, let me tell you that story. There was a man who went to the institution for the insane to visit a parent. There was a lady who went to that same institution to visit a parent. They met, they fell in love, they were married. They came to me and they talked about the possibility of having children and what would be the problems of the chance of having a child that was mentally insane. And after we talked it through, they decided they wanted to adopt a child. The doctor said that that boy that you saw so crippled and deformed, I helped them find because they said they wanted a child that nobody else wanted and nobody else loved. He said, that girl you saw so crippled in the form they found for themselves. He said, that lady was back in here today because they want a third child that nobody else wants and nobody else loves. The unconditional love of a mother for a child, even for an adopted child, who wants to give that unconditional love. One day, two prostitutes came before King Solomon. You remember that story? One of them did all the talking. She said, two of us lived together. And we both had babies 3 days apart. Well, I was in my room sleeping with my baby. And the other one was in her room sleeping with her baby. And while I was asleep, the other woman rolled over and killed her baby. And then she got up and she came into my room and she took my living baby and she put the dead baby beside me and she took my living baby to be by her side and said that it was hers. And so they stand before the king, both of them claiming to have the living child. Listen to what he says. This is in 1 Kings 3. The king said, this one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. While that one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. He gave an order. Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, please, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. No doubt about it. That love, that compassion. When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. I read a parable about a jealous girlfriend, jealous of the boy's mom. They were living ungodly lives, and one night they were tripped out on drugs or alcohol, and this jealous girl was trying to win out over this boy's mom. And she said, you've got to prove to me that you love me more than you love your mom. And finally she said, the only way you can prove that is if you really love me more than you love your mom, you'll kill your mom. And then she thought about that for a little bit, and then she said, not only do I want you to kill her if you love me more than you love her, I want you to cut her heart out and bring it to me. And in that drunken condition, that young man went and killed his own mom. And he cut her heart out. And he was carrying her heart in his hand when he tripped and fell. And when he tripped and fell and that heart hit the ground, he heard his mother's voice saying, son, are you all right? Are you all right? That parable just illustrates the unconditional love that a mother has. There's nothing like it in this world. It's the closest thing to God's unconditional love that we'll ever see. Second characteristic, a mother's unrelenting prayers. I don't know where I would be today if it were not for the prayers of my mom. I'm sure that many of you feel the same way. Who knows where we would be if it were not for our mother's prayers. It seems for some reason that a mother has the ear of God, that God listens to the prayers of moms. And if you've had the privilege to have a praying mom, you're indeed a fortunate person. I did pick up a Mother's Day card a couple years ago that just caught my attention because it had a little boy about 9 years old on the front who had torn jeans and dirty tennis shoes with untied and dirt on his face and a Band-Aid on his arm and his cap was turned sideways. And on the front it said, Mom, I remember that little prayer that you used to pray for me every day. And then you open up the card on the inside. It says, "May God help you if you ever do that again." Well, that's the prayer that perhaps was prayed for some of us many times. But we're grateful to God for the fact that we had moms who kept praying for us and who taught us spiritual truths. You know, I worry so much about this generation. I'm worrying right now about my grandkids. Because what kind of world are they going to have? I watched my friends down here on the front row making fun of these songs that we sang that our mothers taught us. Some of them say, you know, "Gag, what are these? Where do they come from?" But you know, it's not the song, but those words are words that many of us, they have sustained us through our lives. So let me pick at you kids, you students, for a moment and wonder about what your kids will remember. I tell you, sometimes I think, well, you know, they'll say, "Well, you know, I remember smoke and lights and guitars and drums, but I can't remember the word of it. I couldn't hear the words. Much less understand them." I told you I was just going to pick at you a little bit. That's you get my age, you can do that. But I wonder what we're teaching our children. I wonder if we're teaching our children. As I read about what's happening in today's world, there's so little parenting going on. Because we don't have time to teach our children the basic truths of life, to teach our children spiritual values. And where will they get them if we don't teach them? You see, there are things that only you as a mother can teach a child. If you don't teach those things to your child, they will not be taught. And we must not depend upon the school system to teach our kids spiritual values. That's not their responsibility. We don't even trust that to the church. You have that responsibility to teach your children the truths of God. And I think God holds you responsible at that point. John Wesley said, "I've learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." Can your children say that? "I've learned more about Christianity from my parents, from my mom, than any other place." Abraham Lincoln says, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." I read where this minister paid a perfect tribute to his mom when he wrote these words, "My mother practices what I preach." Wow, I like that. My mother practices what I preach. Four scholars were arguing over which translation is the best. And one was saying it was the NIV, and another the RSV. Another was saying Moffat is the best. They were describing why they thought this translation is the best. The fourth scholar said, "I found the best translation to be my mother's translation." And they kind of laughed at that. And he said, "She translated every page into life. It's the most convincing translation I've ever seen." And that's the beauty of God's creation, in that He made mothers for us. And and mothers who are godly and who will not only teach those values and those spiritual principles, but who will bathe their children in prayer all their lives. Nothing will have a greater impact upon kids, upon students, than godly mothers who are praying moms. The third principle, a characteristic, a mother's unbelievable intuition. Isn't it amazing that the intuition women have? Mothers seem to have a sixth sense. An incredible sensitivity. They always seem to know what's going on. As Irma Brumbeck says, motherhood takes 180 movable parts. In fact, I don't read you something often. Let me read you this. This is written about 15 years ago from Irma Brumbeck. When God created mothers, when the good Lord was creating mothers, He was into His sixth day of overtime. when the angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And the Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a laugh that disappears when she gets up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to disappointed love affair. And 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook her head, and the reason she says the angel shook her head is because she hasn't listened to my series on angels. Or she would have known better. 6 pairs of hands? No way. "It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model," asked the angel. The Lord nodded. "One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." "Lord," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "come to bed tomorrow." "I can't," says the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of 6 on a pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed. "But tough," said the Lord excitedly. "You cannot imagine what this mother can do and what she can endure. Can she think?" "Not only think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. "There's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you you were trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "It's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness." "You're a genius," said the angel. The Lord looked somber. "I didn't put it there." Great tribute to moms. Moms have unbelievable intuition. An uncanny ability to know when a child is in trouble. Many, many times my mom has called me up saying, "I just felt like something was wrong." And usually something would be wrong because she has that ability. God gives that. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." Now those verses have to do with building and establishing a home. But not with hammers and nails and brick and mortar. The tools Solomon's talking about are relational. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Wisdom has to do with discernment. Understanding with insight. Knowledge with perception. And when you think of mother, she has all of that. She has wisdom. She has understanding. She has knowledge. You know, I love the age of my girls now. They're old enough to realize their mom is wise again. Because we went through that whole period where mom didn't know anything. And dad knew even less. But now they're old enough to appreciate the wisdom of mom again. And to you who have teenagers, you'll get through that period. And all of a sudden, your child will come back to reality and you'll have a person again who responds to you and doesn't look at you with those crazy looks all the time and who will listen to you occasionally and who will respect you for having a little wisdom and at times will want to talk to you and will want to hear your knowledge and wants your understanding and your perception and your discernment. So that's a good time. The fourth characteristic: a mother's unreserved patience. You know, a mother's patience seems to have no limit. I know you moms in your hectic lives feel like that you have run slap out of patience. and your patience is tried on a daily basis. But you have an incredible ability to keep on being patient far beyond the norm, the standard. Patient love, patient acceptance, patient care, patient listening. I promise you that if we did a survey and asked people in your life who's been the most patient with you, most of the time it would be a mom. Who's tried to be the most understanding, the most patient? It's a mom. Unreserved patience. The fifth characteristic, a mother's unusual selflessness. Somehow a mother always wants to put her family first. You see that over and over and over. If not enough chairs, she wants to stand. It's good for her back. You notice how not only do they want to make sure everybody else is taken care of, but they, so that you won't feel bad about it, they make up some kind of excuse. It's always the family. If there's not enough food, she's no longer hungry. Suddenly she's not hungry. She couldn't eat anything. She had anything to eat. Not enough money. She doesn't need anything. Always putting the family first. Willing to go without, willing to do without, in order that the kids could have what they need. Selflessness. Characteristics of a mother. Now let me just give you some simple ways to honor your mom. The first way is to love her. That should go without saying, but you know, you can't overdo this. She needs to hear that you love her. She needs for you to show and tell her that you love her. You see, mothers are people too. They have feelings. They have needs. They need to be loved. They give so much love out. They need to receive love in return. They need to hear the words from you, "I love you. I love you." They need those hugs. Just keep in your mind that a hug is equal to 3 tablespoons of oat bran. So you can help them physically and emotionally in every way just by giving those hugs that they need. Hug your mom. Let her know that you love her. Tell her that you love her. And remember that you cannot do that too often. And then respect her. She went to the edge of death so that you could have life. She brought you into this world. In fact, you wouldn't be you without her. And for that reason, and for many more, she deserves your respect. She's loved you every day of your life. She deserves your respect. She has cared for you, often at great sacrifice. She deserves your respect. One of the things that I guess aggravates me more than anything else is when I see kids, young people, students, showing disrespect for their parents. Saying harsh things, giving them terrible looks, lashing out at them. That just should not be. It's not ever appropriate. And God felt strongly about that. In fact, God says, don't ever do that. And if you do that, you don't get my blessings, you get my curse. Maybe your parents are not what they ought to be. What parent is? There's no such thing as a perfect parent. But most parents have tried hard to be the best kind of parent they knew how to be. And you're not a perfect kid. You're not a perfect child. But because your mom is your mom, she deserves respect her whole life. And you give her that respect. She's earned it. She deserves it. God says it ought to be. Respect her. And then the third thing is to appreciate her. I spend a lot of time, because of the nature of my job, I listen to women talk. And I think the one thing I hear from women more than anything else is, I don't feel appreciated. Now you say, we appreciate them. But there's something wrong if they don't feel appreciated, and yet we say we appreciate them. So we've got to find ways to convince them that we appreciate them. Always showing them that we appreciate them. Finding things to do. It's little things that make the big difference in life and in relationships. So do those little things that will show continual appreciation. Let her know that you appreciate all that she does, all that she means, because she is doing things constantly. She is sacrificing constantly. She is probably the most selfless person that you know. Let her know that you appreciate that unselfishness, that you appreciate all that she does, and that you never take her for granted, but show that gratitude. Chuck Swindoll wrote this: "I owe you," he said, "dear mom, I owe you for your time, day and night. I owe you for your example, consistent and dependable. I owe you for your support, stimulating and challenging. I owe you for your humor, sparky and quick. I owe you for your counsel, wise and quiet. I owe you for your humility, genuine and gracious. I owe you for your hospitality, smiling and warm. I owe you for your insight, keen and honest. I owe you for your flexibility, patient and joyful. I owe you for your sacrifices, numerous and quickly forgotten. I owe you for your faith, solid and sure. I owe you for your hope, ceaseless and indestructible. I owe you for your love, devoted and deep. Mom, I owe you." Every one of us could have written that. We owe our moms. We owe them more than we could ever pay. We'll always be in debt. But we can show them that we appreciate all that they do for us. The fourth thing is listen to her. You see, moms, the Bible tells us, have unusual wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Listen to some of that. And when you listen to your mom, you know what you're saying when you're listening to her? You're saying, "Hey, you are important. I care about you. I care what you think. I respect you. I know that you have wisdom." And see, some of you who are just getting out of the teenage years, you've given so many bad looks to your mom and acted like they know nothing that you've got to do a lot of making up for just the teenage years. Let her know that she's important. And that what she says, you listen to. And then help her. This is probably the most practical thing, and this is what can do the most good, because women have so much going, they need help. That's probably the best Mother's Day gift you could give your mother, is to help her with household chores. And I don't know what it is, this new generation, this young generation, is opposed to physical labor. And somehow they got the idea that while I'm growing up, I don't do anything. One day when I have a home, then I'll do something. But right now, I'm on a free ride. And so what we can do in the home is to learn to help out mom. That's the same way with you husbands. If you really want to get points with your wife, do household chores. That, because she's got three or four full-time jobs. Now, most of the women are working outside the home. That's a full-time job. Being a parent to kids, that's a full-time job. Being a wife to a husband, that's a full-time job. Running a house is a full-time job. She's got several full-time jobs. She needs help. Not like the girl who caught her mother washing dishes on Mother's Day, and she was just horrified and said, "You shouldn't do that. It's Mother's Day." The mother started taking off the apron and to give the washcloth to the daughter, and the daughter says, "They'll keep till tomorrow." Well, that should not be the way it is at all. Help your mom. Two ways to honor as a kid, as a student. Do something before she asks you to do it. Now, be careful about this because it could cause some corn errors. Or your mom may pass out on you. But if you really want to show her you love her and appreciate her, do something before she asks you to do it. Clean your room before she asks you to do it. Or wash the dishes or whatever. And you see something that needs to be done, just do it. I promise you, when she comes to, she will be impressed. So and you honor her that way by doing something before you're asked to do it. And then, of course, if you miss that opportunity, when she does ask you to do something, instant obedience. And your attitude ought to be, I'm happy to do it. Now, some of you practice that on Mother's Day because that, some of you, one day a year, would be quite an increase. It'd be quite a step for you. But whatever she asks you to do, do it instantly. I hear moms have to, you know, say to kids over and over, do this, please do this, beg them to do it, threaten them if they don't do it. That doesn't show honor. That doesn't show respect. Do it and do it immediately and do it with the attitude, I'm happy to do it. One kid got in trouble and the mom finally says, you go upstairs in your room and wait on me. And then the daddy came in, and so he decided to go upstairs and check on the little boy, and he couldn't find him in the room, and he looked, bent down on the bed, and he saw the little boy hiding on the bed. When the little boy saw his daddy's eyes, he said, is mom trying to get you too? Years ago, there was a country western song that was entitled Roses for Mama. And it was one of those country songs that tells a story. And this man had gone into the florist shop. It was Mother's Day weekend, and he didn't have time. He was busy to go see his mom, but he was going to have some flowers sent to her, a bouquet of flowers. And when he was in there ordering that bouquet of flowers to be sent to his mom, there was a little boy who was counting out his money and trying to buy some roses for his mom, but he didn't have enough money. And so the man took money out of his pocket and paid for those roses for that little boy. And then he left, and a little while later, he happened to pass by the cemetery, and he saw that little boy walking into that cemetery carrying those roses. And that man pulled into that cemetery and asked that boy what he was doing. He said, my mama died a year ago, and I come here often to talk to her. But this weekend, I wanted to come and bring her roses. And that man decided to go back to that florist and to see if he could stop that order. And he went back, and they hadn't sent it out yet, and he said, I need to take those personally to my mom. And that's a message you need to hear today. Because we so easily take our moms for granted. And when they're gone, you'd give anything in the world if you had done more, if you'd taken the time to go see them instead of sending them something. One of the best ways you can show love and appreciation is to stay in close contact with your parents. If they're older, if they're away, call them today if they're out of town. If you could go see them, go see them. Spend time with them. Take advantage of that opportunity. Show them love and honor and respect. And if you do, you not only bless her, but you invite the blessings of God upon your life. If you do not, you not only hurt her, but you invite the curse of God.
We hope you were blessed by our program today. If you would like a copy of today's program, go to www.fredlowry.com, where you can find this program and other Christian resources by Dr. Fred Lowry.